The cheap door led from the shabby office to a crummy hall. One side of the hall held two more faux veneer hollow core doors and two shiny doorknobs. One had a drab brown plastic sign that said Men. The other had a similar sign that said Ladies. Warden Brooks walked to the unmarked door at the end of the hall, but paused before opening it.
You need to use the restroom?
Murphy said.
No.
Good. We deliberately keep those bathrooms dirty and short of toilet paper. We must keep up appearances.
The warden led Murphy onward through the door. Every characteristic changed. The hard carpeting was replaced with slightly softer-looking concrete floors. The stucco was displaced with painted cinder block. The suspended acoustic ceiling was now exposed metal trusses and ductwork. The design aesthetic had changed from the kind of cheap that falls apart immediately to the kind of cheap that lasts forever. The warden walked quickly and talked at the same pace, forcing Murphy to struggle physically and mentally to keep up. They passed through an endless maze of identical concrete walls and steel doors, interspersed with the occasional staircase and wrought iron gate, controlled by people in uniforms, protected behind thick, impact-resistant glass. Murphy never got a good look at any of these people, because they never stopped walking. The gate swung open before the warden arrived. They did this with such reliability that a few times Murphy thought Brooks was going to walk face first into the bars, but the bars always got out of the way before that happened.
The facility was created at an undisclosed point in the past, the warden said, for an agency that is classified by a president who shall remain nameless.
He barely turned his head to the side to speak to Murphy as he walked.
The purpose of the facility is to house the nation's most problematic prisoners.
By problematic, you mean violent and dangerous, Agent Murphy said, finally feeling like he was getting a handle on the situation.
Warden Brooks said,
No, I said problematic, and that's what I meant. The prison system doesn't consider violence much of a problem. They deal with it all the time. If prisons had a problem dealing with violence, the prisoners would just fight their way out of prison and we'd all have a problem and violence before too long. No, we get the prisoners that nobody else knows what to do with. Take your man Todd Douglas. Do you know what he did to get here?
Murphy didn't know, as it happened. He took a wild guess, based on his knowledge of Jimmy's other associates.
Embezzling?
The warden laughed.
Ha! You're a treasury agent, that's right. It's all embezzlement and tax evasion to you guys. Well, he might have embezzled, too, but what got him here was killing a man. The victim was his boss at one of those strip mall video game stores. Do you know how he killed him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, neither do we. Well, we do, but we don't. That's one of the things that makes your guy problematic. We know what he did, and we know why, but we can't explain how he actually did it.
Murphy was lost.
How's that work? If you know he killed the guy, you have to be able to explain how.
He made all of the atoms in his boss's body lose their molecular bonds at the same time. Can you explain how he did that? Is that something the Treasury deals with routinely? No, I didn't think so.
If you don't know how he did it, how can you know that he did it?
Because he had a beef with his boss, because he tried to evade capture, and because of all the people who worked at the video game store inside a mall in Phoenix in August, he was the only one who came to work wearing galoshes.
Murphy said,
Ick.
The warden nodded.
Damn straight, Ick. The entire carpet was destroyed, every square inch of it. Whole thing got confiscated by the government for study. It's probably rolled up and sitting next to the Ark of the Covenant by now.
Murphy said,
If he's that dangerous, I can see why they'd send him to a place like this.
The warden shook his head.
No, you're making too many assumptions. We don't know how he liquefied that guy, but we've seen no evidence that he can still do it. We've had him here for 6 years, and he hasn't heard a fly. Mr. Douglas is here for two reasons. One is that we can't explain what he did, how he escaped capture at first, or how he was captured in the end. The police got called, and they immediately started questioning him. He was pretty cocky until they started asking about the galoshes. Then he got nervous. He excused himself, went into a restroom that had no exits beyond the one door the cops were guarding, and he never came out.
That's something,
Murphy said. He chose not to share the story about how Martin Banks had disappeared right before his eyes. The warden continued.
Yeah, well, the weird part was at that exact moment he turns up in the lobby of Phoenix City Hall, stark naked and hogtied, and get this, his hair was longer and he had a beard.
Jimmy hadn't told Murphy much about this Todd character. He now suspected he was going to have a long conversation with Jimmy about him. For now, Murphy just said,
"That's pretty weird, all right."
"Yeah, well, you should be grateful," Warden Brooks said. "The only reason we're letting you see the little weasel is that we're hoping that it will lead to some answers."
Murphy chose not to comment. Instead, he changed the subject.
"You said there were two reasons he's here?"
"Yeah, you'll see."
The two men walked in silence through a few more twists and turns of the corridor. Murphy hoped the warden would lead him back out, or else he'd never find his way to daylight again, and might end up just getting a job there. Finally, they rounded the last corner and approached the last gate. Where Murphy would have expected to see another electronically actuated lock, the gate was instead held fast with a very large, very old-looking mechanical lock. Several feet before the gate, a guard sat on a stool, guarding a single, oversized key that hung from a spike driven into the mortar between the cinder blocks in the wall. Murphy got the pleasure of surprising the warden with his lack of surprise.
"Oh, his magnetic field is the other thing, huh?"
The warden scowled.
"You knew about that?"
Agent Murphy said.
"Yes."
They eyeballed each other for a moment. It was clear that there was a battle for dominance going on, and that up until a second ago, Warden Brooks was certain he was winning. Murphy, as was his way, had won the whole game by pretending not to play until the last few seconds. Agent Murphy had walked into this meeting knowing exactly two things about Todd beyond his name. He withheld the information about the magnetic field until after Warden Brooks shared a great deal of new information, and in doing so gave the impression that he already knew much of what Brooks had told him and had been humoring him. The other thing Agent Murphy knew, he had already decided he could never share, because he didn't really believe it. Jimmy had told him that Todd had traveled in time to the distant past and had been rejected and sent back by Jimmy and all of the other time travelers. The warden grumbled under his breath as he removed his watch and cell phone, placing them on a small table next to the locked gate. Murphy did the same. When all electronic devices were safely removed, the guard opened the gate and let them through. The cinder block hallway that stretched on beyond the gate was structurally identical to the hallway before, but felt entirely different. The overhead fluorescent light fixtures were dark. Instead, bare incandescent light bulbs hung from the ceiling at regular intervals. Their cords stretched up to the ceiling, where they looked to have been hastily stapled in place. The cords led to the wall, then down to the floor, then back, along the floorboards and through the gate they'd just passed, finally terminating in a cheap power strip plugged into the wall outlet. The hanging lights were dimmer than the fluorescents and swung slightly in the breeze, making the shadows wobble unnervingly. Their footsteps echoed as the warden walked down the hall and around the corner. Murphy followed and finally laid eyes on Todd Douglas. Murphy saw a prison cell. The only furniture was a toilet and a bed. The only light came from more poorly hung light bulbs dangling outside the cell, well beyond the prisoner's reach. The back wall of the cell was stacked from the floor to about waist height with books, most of them so thin as to barely qualify as anything more than a magazine. A man in an orange jumpsuit sat on the bed, reading a skinny book with a glossy cover. The back of the book had a drawing of a little girl and a man in a diving suit. The warden barked,
"Douglas, get up! You have a visitor!"
The prisoner slammed the book shut and turned to face Agent Murphy. He had a weak chin, a strong nose, dark hair, and bright eyes. Todd rose to his feet. His movements were slow, but his eyes darted around, taking in every detail of his visitors so voraciously that Agent Murphy almost felt violated. Todd grabbed the bars of his cell and leaned forward, almost placing his head between the bars, as if trying to get as close to the other two men as possible.
"Hello, I'm Todd Douglas. Thank you for coming to visit me."
Murphy stood tall and said,
"I'm not here for pleasure, Mr. Douglas."
"Oh, but having you here is a pleasure for me,"
the prisoner said.
I see some of the guards every day, and I see Warden Brooks here about once a month, but other than that, I never get any visitors. What's your name?
I'm Agent Murphy. I'm with the Department of the Treasury.
Murphy produced his badge. Todd read every word engraved in it. When he was finished, Todd asked,
Do you play video games?
Not since I was in college.
Oh, that's a shame. They've gotten so good. They're doing amazing things these days. The standards for the graphics have gotten so high, even the worst games look great. So they've had to start getting more creative with the story.
Murphy looked down at the thin booklet Todd had been reading when he entered, which was lying on the bed. It was indeed the strategy guide for a game called BioShock 2. Todd saw where he was looking and said,
The BioShock games are a good example. At first glance, you might think it's just a game where you run around shooting people, but there's a lot more to do than that.
Murphy was trying to make sense of the image on the cover, which was a city, a whale, and a man in a diving suit with a drill for an arm. While pondering this, he absent-mindedly said,
Is there?
Oh, yeah!
Todd enthused.
There's a ton of ways to kill people in that game other than just shooting them. You can beat them, you can electrocute them, you can set them on fire. You can blow them up, you can throw them across the room with your mind, you can have them stung to death by bees. There's all kinds of ways to kill people.
In the video game, Murphy said.
Yeah,
Todd said.
Just like in real life.
Murphy asked,
Do you enjoy killing people? In video games, Todd?
Todd's expression soured.
I used to. I haven't been able to play any for a long time.
Todd motioned to the giant stack of magazines.
I read the strategy guides, but it's not the same.
The warden cleared his throat, which Murphy interpreted as a signal to get on to business. Murphy said,
Mr. Douglas.
Todd interrupted, saying,
You can call me Todd.
The warden said,
No, he can't.
Murphy started again.
Mr. Douglas, I brought you a message.
He reached into his inside pocket and produced a sealed envelope. Todd's eyes followed the envelope.
Who's it from?
Todd asked. Murphy silently turned the envelope around so that Todd could see where Jimmy had written Merlin in the fanciest script he could muster with a number two pencil. Todd's expression changed instantly from a smile to a snarl.
What does he want?
Murphy handed him the letter.
Read it and find out.
Murphy hadn't told the warden about the letter. It wouldn't have made sense to the warden if he had. Todd snatched the letter away before the warden had a chance to object, retreating to the back of his cell. He scowled as he tore the envelope open. He unfolded the letter and started reading, his lips moving slightly as he did so. He laughed bitterly, then he cursed, then he continued reading in silence. When he finished the letter, he closed his eyes and clenched his fists, crumpling the letter in the process. Then he smoothed out the letter and read it again. When he'd finished the second read-through, he turned to Agent Murphy.
You got a pen and paper?
Agent Murphy reached into his pocket and produced a notepad and a pen, which he clicked open. Todd said,
You write this down, 'cause I'm only gonna say it once.